Welcome to another podcast by Dr. Dennis Smith, Senior Pastor of Covenant Life Ministries. To find out more, go to lifeinfocustv.com.
And can you believe that it is 2017 already? 2017. I remember thinking how awkward it would be to ever learn after we got through the 1900s, you know, 1950s, 60s, 70s, 90s, how awkward it would be to, how do you say, 2001, you know, but we made it, and now it's just become part of our vernaculars, 2015, 2016, 2017. And I remember growing up that actually I never thought we would reach 2000. Honestly, when I was a kid, I thought 2000. Besides that, I was going to be 50 years old. I'd be so old, it wouldn't make any difference. But here we are, 2017. I always find it interesting, when we come this time of year, I find it interesting to go back and look at numerology or biblical numerology or numerics. And you may not be aware of this, but... Well, I know you're aware of the fact that the Bible Scripture is an amazing book. And there are all the things that we can read and understand, but there's even level after level of things that are revealed to us as we learn, study different aspects of the Word. And one of those is studying Bible numerics. And the truth is that you can find that God teaches throughout the Scripture through the use of numbers, different numbers. And so usually when we come to a new year or something significant years, I'll go back and I'll begin researching, looking what the Bible has to say about certain numbers. Now, it's pretty easy going up 1 through 8. I mean, it's pretty easy to look what the Scripture teaches about the meaning of those numbers. But when you get beyond that, it gets a little bit more difficult, particularly when you get on into the teens, like 17. Says, Lord, what does the number 17 mean to us? Does it have any significance for today? Well, over the past... Recently I came to believe that the Lord wanted to speak into us and speak into the life of His congregation. This theme for the entire year of 2017 is learning to position yourself for blessing. Now that has two sides. Position yourselves to be in a place where you can receive the blessings of God as He desires, and position yourself where you can be a blessing. Where Covenant Life can be a greater blessing to reach others all around us and impact the lives of people around us. So for several weeks now, we're going to be talking about all different aspects of the Word concerning how God wants to put us in the right location, put us in the right situation, how we can learn to get into a place to receive what God wants to do in our life. I think that's extremely important, don't you? Don't you? And we're going to do that, but throughout the year, we're going to follow this theme through that God is positioning me for greater blessing. God is positioning me to be a greater blessing. God is positioning Covenant Life for greater blessings. And God is positioning us to be a greater blessing to those that we can reach out to in this nation and in nations beyond. I believe that with all my heart. So I came to believe that that was a word for us for this season. And then when I looked back and kind of studied the word, the number 17, I found out the number 17 symbolizes overcoming and complete victory. And I think that just so fits together there, that God wants to place us in a position of blessing where we overcome and where we live in victory. In Noah's day, the rain began to fall on the 70th day of the second month on the Hebrew calendar. The ark came to rest on Mount Ararat on the 17th day with 8 passengers surviving the flood. It rested on the mountain on the 17th day of the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar. Many scholars believe that the resurrection of Jesus took place on the 17th day of Nisan in the Jewish calendar, or April. In 1 Corinthians chapter 17, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when you read about love, you'll find that the 17th time that love is mentioned, it says that love is the greatest gift or blessing of all. We say, well, that's kind of a far reach to go through. Surely you can go through and find those things. But I believe that there's significance when you go to the scripture to find out that there are certain experiences that we can learn through Numbers and the way that God has designed all of this. It's amazing. I mean, look around you at creation. Look around you at the human body. I mean, look around you at the miraculous. God is the great designer, and He is a God of details. He's a God of details. Now, as we look at this year, I want to encourage you, don't evaluate what God is about to do by what He has done in the past. Also, don't live in any condemnation over your past sins and mistakes. Walk in His forgiveness and know that is gone. Thirdly, believe in the God of new beginnings. This is a new year, new beginnings, new mercies every morning. Next, expect God to work in your life now. Not, well, maybe next week or next month or God's going to do this. But God is working in my life today. These are important truths and principles for you to not only believe, but to say. When you get up in the morning, God, I thank You that You are working in my life today. And I thank You that You are positioning me through Your favor and grace to be in a place of blessing. Expect God to work in your life now. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your focus on the first things first. Don't be so easily distracted. And embrace the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Learn to embrace the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready for things to change in your life? Are you tired of living in kind of a ho-hum existence? Are you tired of some of the routine? Are you tired of the weight of the past holding you back? Are you ready for God to do a new thing in your life? Are you ready to know that the glory of the former days cannot compare to the glory that God wants to bring about in our lives now? In order to do that, we must proceed in faith, in planning, in believing, and positioning ourselves for victory to live the blessed life. Recently, as I was praying about today, I looked through scripture, you know, this is a lot of times when you're praying about and getting the Lord's direction on something, you kind of through your thought processes and things you read and scripture, just things will come together and you believe it's the Holy Spirit and it's very applicable. And then there are times that as you prepare for Sunday that the same scripture and the same words start popping up. It wasn't exactly what you were thinking about it, but it starts to surface. And then when you hear someone else and bang, there it is. And you sit down to scripture and there it is. And you hear someone quote a verse and there it is. Let me tell you, I mean, if God says something once to you, that's enough, that's important. But if He starts repeating stuff to you over and over again, it's good for you to stop and pay attention to it. Now, I don't know really the significance of this for today. I don't know whether it will speak to you in a particular way or not for this specific time in your life. But I believe that it will, and I believe it is for today. And I began to be drawn to the first psalm in the Bible, Psalm 1. And I want us to go to that. It's in the Amplified. Don't go to the Amplified version of Psalm 1, beginning with verse 1. There's six verses in this psalm, and we're going to go through the entire psalm together. From the Amplified version, Psalm 1, verse 1 through 6. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous and favored by God is the man or is the one, the person, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, who does not stand in the path of sinners, who does not sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers or those who ridicule. But this man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, in God's word, on his precepts, his teachings, and he habitually meditates on them day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted, and I promise you, I didn't have a clue what Leanne was going to say this morning, and she didn't know what I was going to say, but she went right down the line and preached my sermon. So be blessed this week. We'll see you next week. It's not the first time she's done this, which was one of those repeats, one of those repetitions, one of those confirmations that says, this is on the right track. This is, listen, you can gather up some lesson to teach anytime. You can go to the Bible and teach from the scripture. I could have a teaching any Sunday morning. I could plan and teach a lesson, and it would have its benefits to all of us as we go to the Word. But there's something about knowing that when you gather together, that God has, as we call it, a fresh word. That there is a word that He has for you and me for January the 1st, 2017, today. That means God hasn't just spoken in the past. That means God is speaking right now. How many of you believe that? Well, I do too, and I think that is so very important. His delight is in the word of the Lord, His teachings. He meditates in them day and night. He'll be like a tree that is firmly planted and fed by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, the righteous, whatever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. What a promise. It says, now this person, this blessed person, whatever he does will prosper, and he will grow spiritually and mature in his faith and walk with the Lord. What a promise. Then he draws a contrast in the rest of the psalm. He says, the wicked, those who live in disobedience to God's law, are not this way. They're like the chaff, worthless and without substance. The wind blows it away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand unpunished in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows and fully approves the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Let me quickly read through the Passion translation of this. It says, what delight comes to those who follow God's ways. They won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, or be found sitting in the scorner's seat. Their pleasure and passion is remaining true to the word I am, meditating each and every moment in the revelation of right. They will be standing firm like a flourishing tree, planted by God's design, deep rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of their lives. They're never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever plentiful. But how different are the wicked? They are as dust in the wind, driven away to destruction. The wicked will not endure the day of judgment, for God will not defend them. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for very long. For they have no part with those who walk in truth. But how different it is for the lovers of God. The Lord watches over them as they move forward, while the paths of the godless lead only to doom. I want to walk as one that's called blessed or righteous. Blessed. Psalm 1, many people believe that Psalm 1 is actually an introduction to the rest of the Psalms. Actually, some believe that Psalm 1 and 2 are introductions, and Psalms don't actually begin until Psalm 3. And Psalm 1 is an introduction into the entire book. Most people believe that David wrote this psalm, but we're really not sure who the human author was. We know it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but we're not sure whether it was David or not. There's several. David didn't write all the psalms. Some were written by David, some by Solomon, some by Asaph, some by Korah, some by Moses, and others. When you read this chapter in Psalms, it gives us a portrait of a righteous person. Now, when I talk about righteous person, don't get over in the religious mindset. And by righteous, I'm not talking about the person who just simply follows the law and does their best to do the right things, keeps the Ten Commandments type mentality. When I talk about righteous, as far as our understanding of righteousness, it is who we are because of the mercy and forgiveness we have in Christ. The Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. None of us are perfect or without sin, the scripture says. So there has to be a remedy. There has to be something that takes place that puts us into a place of righteousness, of being righteous. That comes through the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus was perfectly righteous, never broke the law, always obeyed God, died as a substitute on the cross, taking our unrighteousness on himself. He paid the penalty in his death, in his suffering. And now when we partake of that and say, I receive the gift that Jesus gave me on the cross, he died in my place, so therefore now I am made righteous. This is called the gift of righteousness. If you are a believer, you have been given the gift of righteousness. You stand righteous before God through Christ. That's your position in faith. Isn't that great? Isn't that really great? It's not about your works. You can't be good enough to be saved. You can't be good enough to be righteous. You can't do it. However, once you become righteous, or once you have Christ in your heart, then, and the Holy Spirit in you, then as a new creation, old things passed away, all things, as a new creation, you begin to walk out a pattern of doing the right things. Change begins to take place from the inside out. You stop doing some things, you start doing other things. You begin, as a righteous believer, you begin to live out a godly or godlike life. How many of you know that every believer should live a godlike life, patterned after Jesus, doing the right thing? It's important. For some people, they don't think that Christians and believers and unbelievers, hey, they all look alike. But how many of you know they're not supposed to all look alike? Believers and unbelievers are not supposed to all look alike. They're not supposed to all behave alike. They're not supposed to all think alike. They're to be different. The Bible calls you a peculiar person in the good sense of the word. It's important. And this is talking about a righteous person and doing the right thing, living out that life. Psalm 1 gives us that portrait of a righteous man. It shows us the contrast between the righteous and the ungodly. Psalm 1 is a blueprint for blessing. Now, when we read the word blessed here, which is oftentimes in the Bible translated happy, it's so much more than surface happiness of I'm happy because I feel good. I'm happy because I got what I wanted. It goes deeper than that. This is an inner satisfaction and joy. So very important. It's not dependent on our circumstances. We as the righteous, we as belonging to Christ, are truly blessed from the inside out. Now the word blessed, there's a lot of words for that's translated blessed in Scripture. There's two primary ones. One, in the Old Testament, is the word asherah or asherah, which is the root that means to be right. And what that, let's say that all is well. Everything is right in your life. Everything's good. Everything's great. What a great word. Actually, it literally means blessednesses. Plural. Blessednesses. This is what you have. It is being supremely happy and fulfilled. You have not only more and more blessings in your life, in number, but they are intensifying. They're getting greater and greater. Man, I'm telling you, that's a good place to be. Now, you can walk in that kind of blessedness as even when you're going through tough times, and even when it doesn't look like you're blessed. This is a matter of faith. Now, another word for blessing is the Greek word makarios. K-A-R-I-O-S, Makarios, which is interesting. It means, when he says blessed, it means to become large. To become large. Literally, that's saying that you are blessed in a tremendous, in a supreme way. You are well off. You're well off. It's the same word that Jesus used when he had the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts. This is a state a blessing. Now here, just take just a moment that when we talk about positioning ourselves for blessing, there is what I'm going to term the blessing, and then there are blessings. As a believer, you receive the blessing of God. You know what that is? That's your salvation. That's that you have received the favor and grace of the Lord. You have His blessing in your life. But as you have the blessing in your life, which means you're a covenant person, you have His covenant promises. Since you have the blessing, then you will experience or walk in the blessings, those things that happen in your life, those things that add joy, those things that fulfill your life. So very important to know the difference. I believe that blessing is God's empowerment in action. Blessing is God's empowerment, which is grace. God's empowerment in action. And so getting into the right place, you know, we used to say, you know, if you want to experience God, then get under the spout where the glory is pouring out. And that was just kind of a simple little way of saying, if you want to receive from the Lord, get into a place to where you can receive. Which helps us to understand that all the wonderful blessings and good things and the promises of God have already been given to us. That's what the scripture says. They're already ours. God doesn't have to do anything new. He's already done everything, given everything we need. The problem is not in waiting for Him to do something. The problem is putting ourselves into a place where we can receive what He has already done for us and promised to us. That makes sense. You will miss out some things because you don't show up at the right place at the right time, right? It's that way as far as receiving the blessings of the Lord. We need to show up at the right place at the right time. We need to put ourselves in a mental state, in a place of faith. Sometimes even show up in the right location to receive something that God has specifically for us at that time. Now, people say get in the right position or location. That doesn't mean you have to run around everywhere looking for the blessing of God. It's yours. It's on you. But at the same time, it's important for us to learn that as God orchestrates our life and we are Spirit-led, when we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, I think sometimes when we wake up in the morning as believers, we just kind of go out on our own when we don't have to. I mean, God's with us, I understand that. But what I'm saying is we don't take advantage of the opportunity of saying, Holy Spirit, guide me today. Speak to me and show me the people. Show me when I come in contact with people. Guide me into how I'm to bless them or sow into their lives or help me with that. Help me to know. Could there ever be a right time to show up at Walmart? Yeah, maybe so. Could there be a time when it's just important that you, at some point in time, you can choose whether you're going to go there or not? Wouldn't it be great to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know that He's got some plan and purpose for you to go and be at a certain place at a certain time? Why? Because He's positioning you for blessing. He's putting you in a place to receive from Him. Abraham experienced the favor and blessing of God, but it was only by faith that he positioned himself to receive from God. And as I began to look in the scripture, I found example after example after example where it says, do this if you want to experience the blessings, the fullness, the abundance, the goodness of God, the promises of God. Do this. Prepare in advance. Prepare in advance. Put yourself in the right place. And I began to see that, man, that's throughout the scripture. It's important for you to hear Him and show up in the right place. And that's not just physical location. It may be to show up the right place and being in the right mindset. So this is very, very important, folks. And we're going to learn a lot about that over the next 2 or 3 weeks. So be in the right place at the right time. Now, these truths are powerful. There are blessings designed for you, but you're not going to experience them until you are in position to receive. What if God wants to bless you, but he cannot? Well, no, he's God. He's sovereign. He does anything he wants to. You've been around long enough to know God knows everything, but there's some things that God cannot do because he will not violate his character or his word. Jesus was not able to do many great miracles or mighty works in his own hometown because of the people's choice. They did not believe. They unbelieve. We can limit God. We can say no to God. We can say not now. And then there are consequences to that. There are times that God wants to speak to us and bless us, but we are not in a place to receive. So he can't. What if the enemy is stealing from you due to your being in the wrong place in your life? When you look at Psalm 1, you find, first of all, there's three things that this person, the righteous person, there's three things he does not do. First of all, in other words, sometimes it's just good to say no. You know me well enough to know that I believe on preaching on the positive side. I spent many years as a young pastor preaching on the negative side, telling everybody how mean they were and what they shouldn't be doing, and here's what you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way I was brought up. And I believe it's important to live a good life, to be honest, to be honorable, to do the right. I believe it's important. But we're not supposed to preach the law. We're supposed to preach grace. And grace then produces his word in us that brings out the kind of life we should live. But for many years, man, I thought it was my responsibility to point out to everyone what needed to change in their lives. That was frustrating to me, but my, that must have been really frustrating to them. And some people like that kind of preaching. They like for a preacher to get up and holler and scream and spit and you know, point their fingers and all that stuff. I think sometimes it's just a little bit of, it's like feeling better after you get a whipping. You know, thanks, I needed that type mentality. How people come, you know, I still get it occasionally, but not much because I've used this example so many people are ashamed to do it anymore, but used to, you know, I was like, preacher, you really stepped all over my toes this morning. That wasn't my intention. You know, I feel like if you step on your toes, move your feet, for goodness sakes, you know. But that's not what this is all about. When we gather on Sunday morning, this is not about, well, remind me of everywhere I messed up last week, please. The Holy Spirit will do that. I don't have to do that. You already know. Now, we do go down the Word, and as the Word is preached, when we talk about what's right and wrong, the Holy Spirit will deal with us about it, absolutely. But sometimes you have to address the no side, the negative side. And the psalmist here does. He's talking about, here's how you live a blessed life. And he says, here's how you start. First of all, you don't do this, and you don't do that, this, and you don't do that. He names three things. He says, do not walk according to the world's principles. The sinners. He says, don't walk in the path of sinners. The word sinners there is a word that means loose. Don't walk with loose people who have loose morals, who don't have a real relationship with the Lord. Now we all need to invest some time with people who are unsaved, don't know the Lord, and sometimes it means being in some situations that are less than wholesome, but that's just temporary and that's just so that we can sow into their lives. Sometimes it just happens. We're in a place where we can't get out, but we don't walk with them. People don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, people are always ready to give you advice and counsel, aren't they? Who counsels? Who gives you counsel in your life? Now, there are good people, family members, spiritual leaders, others that offer helpful counsel to us. But the number one counselor with a capital C is the Holy Spirit. And we look to him as our guide. But there's all kinds of things out there saying, here, walk this way. Walk that way. Walk. It comes to us through commercials. This bud's for you, so drink it. So walk. It may be, you deserve a break today, so eat this. We get advice from media, entertainment, even from cartoons, where recently one cartoon, one of the characters that said, I'm voting Democrat. What does that have to do with cartoons and fun for kids? I'll tell you what it has to do. It is an attempt to cause people to walk in a particular way. And there's that counsel, there's that word, to where we've gotten to a place in our culture to where, understand, in so many situations, good's called evil, evil's called good. That's why it's important for us not to walk that way, to live where we're open to that kind of mindset. Don't walk this way. Blessed is the person who does not stand in the way of or path of sinners. The world's culture is always trying to shape our the lifestyles of the ungodly or trying to define our culture as to what's right and wrong. It's important for you to be very careful of the friends that you choose, the people that you hang out with. This, the blessed person, first of all, above everything else, delights himself in the law or in the word and teachings of the Lord. The first person delights in the word. They're positioned for blessing. But it is so important for us to allow the Lord to work in us to where we begin to develop a real appetite for the word. And the interesting thing about it is, as you make a commitment decision to spend time in the word, your appetite grows. And the more that you get into the word, the more your appetite grows. Get through the dull moments, get through the boring moments, make a commitment, ask the Holy Spirit to speak through his word, and it'll come alive to you. And then it'll be kind of like the psalmist who said, it's kind of like necessary food to me. How many people here this morning really look forward to eating? I mean, if you're healthy, you're going to, man, I can't wait. And especially as you begin to smell that food cooking. There's not anything that smells any better than good old fried food. Hold on just a second. Let me roll back in here. I'm moving a little bit. What I'm saying in this is that there's something in us. There's something in us that in the physical, in the flesh and everything that draws us. I want this. I want to eat. I want some of this. I want some of that. We want to get to a place in our spiritual life to where something's working us to where when it comes to reading and studying and allowing, if we begin to know that God's word's not just pages on the book, but this is God speaking to me, this is God speaking to me, this is God speaking to me. Lord, I want to hear you right now. I want to hear from you right now. I need your word today. I need this in my life. Then we begin to say, when's it going to be time to eat again? When can I have another opportunity to read the word? Wouldn't you like to be that? Actually, as a Christian, wouldn't you like to feel that way? Me too. God help us to see this begin to happen in our lives. So he first of all delighted himself in the word. That's where it starts. Next, it's important to get in the right position. What? He would stand firm. And this is going right into what Leanne said, but it's important for us to learn to stand firm. Let God build a good foundation in your life through his word. Secondly, be deeply rooted. We have to learn to let our roots go down deep. The day is coming when shallow Christianity will not survive at all. We're coming to a time where church as usual and kind of playing the game and showing up every Sunday, every now and then or something, and just kind of, this is my Christian duty. And those days are coming to an end. We folks have got to come to a place to where this is real to us every day. You may not feel like you're walking in blessing, but God says you are blessed. Stand firm, be deeply rooted, let your roots go down deep. This has to come through your time spent with the Lord and through prayer. Get deeply rooted, or else every time something goes wrong, you're going to get discouraged and give up and wham, 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 and all that stuff. The third thing is bear fruit. God, the blessed person, will bear fruit. They will yield fruit. By that, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our attitude and love and peace and joy and long-suffering. But also we're going to bear fruit in the sense that we're going to be productive in working with others. We're going to begin to see new life people come to Christ. How many of you want to win someone to Christ this year? You say, in 2017, Lord, I want to reach someone with a message of the gospel and lead them to Jesus Christ. Just start with one. Just start with one. And then you can go from there. But start with one. And, you know, I think three is a good number. But start with one. And say, Lord, I start right now. Start praying. Lord, show me. Open the way. That one person across my path. Listen, if we get serious about praying and wanting to reach that one, someone will be out there for you. And they may be very close to you. So it's when someone. What if every person in this congregation reached one this year? Who reached one? Who reached one? This is the kind of multiplication that the scripture teaches. Lord, I want to bear fruit in my lifestyle, and I want to bear fruit in my ministry to others. So I stand firm, I'm deeply rooted, I'm bearing fruit in my life, and I am ever blessed. I'm ever blessed. I am ever blessed. It's God consistently working in my life, no matter how I feel, no matter what's coming against me, no matter what it looks like around me. Lord, I am ever supremely, overwhelmingly blessed, and I'm an overcomer, and you promise victory, and I claim this for 2017. Yes? Yes?